Welcome to Adventures in Consciousness, the interactive show that offers expansive conversation with pioneering new thought teachers and personal real-time guided journeys into the imaginal realm to access your soul's wisdom and discover how to live your greater story. Here is your host, human potentialist, soul mentor, and consciousness guide, Jennifer Ivanko.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Adventures in Consciousness, The Conversation. I hope you're as excited as I am to join the journey, this journey to expand our understanding of this fascinating topic of consciousness. You know, when we step out of our routines and our habits, when we step beneath that surface crust of everyday awareness, and when we stretch into the realms of consciousness, it's there we're going to find that next level of our human becoming. So these adventures, these conversations, are about inspiring your wonder, igniting your curiosity, and opening to new possibilities. Together, we're going to explore questions like, what is consciousness? Why does it matter? And how can it practically or tangibly help me? Today, we're going to join a conversation with my dear friend, Susie Miller, who's a visionary speaker, author, telepathic communicator, multidimensional seer, and embodiment facilitator. Susie is the founder of the groundbreaking programs, Awesomeism Practitioner Process, the Journey Back to Love series, the Avatar Energetics, and each of these programs supports the ability to function here from all that we are. A former pediatric speech language pathologist with a master's degree in education, Susie pioneered a shift in the perception of autism from an individual disorder to a collective revolution in human consciousness. She took what she learned directly from the children, first educating others about this new state of consciousness these children were bringing to humanity, and then supporting the children in their own integration process, assisting them to find their own voice in the world. Susie has finally honed her abilities to read energy, to see and communicate with the unseen. And throughout her career, she has been sought out by and collaborated with professionals in the fields of psychology, education, social work, science, medicine, quantum physics, and healing. Susie Miller, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Jennifer.
I'm so excited that you have joined us here to kick off these conversations. As you know, consciousness can be a very vast topic, and we can go in many different directions. I think the challenge is going to be keeping it to a half hour. Yeah. It's interesting. I've had conversations recently with people about consciousness, and the understanding goes from everywhere from what the mental activities of the brain are and no further to this vast field of possibility and potential. So I think the first question has to be, what does consciousness mean to you?
Yeah, I think it's really a both and I live my world in both and. And so to me, consciousness is all that is, ever has been, ever will be. That's consciousness. And I also feel that consciousness is that which makes us aware of ourselves. So, you know, it's, we're conscious of something, right? So, yeah. And to me, that when we're looking at consciousness and what consciousness makes us aware of, I feel like each one of our lives is designed to help us expand into our own awareness of ourselves, into all that is, ever has been, ever will be. So, within each of us.
So, you it's interesting. When did you first start realizing consciousness was something to gain this information or to find out more about who you were?
Well, I think, you know, early on as a speech language pathologist, I had a certain perception of myself. I had a certain conscious identity. I had an awareness of myself. And I had a really interesting experience with a kid back in 99 that took my awareness of myself, or what I was conscious of and what I thought I could have access to, it took that from 0 to 180, like in a matter of an hour. So what I perceived myself to be before that interaction was so much less than what I actually had access to. And so, you know, for me, it was just, it shifted consciousness for me. And by shifting consciousness, I mean that it shifted my perception of reality. It shifted my perception of all that is, ever has been, ever will be. And I realized how narrow a perception we all have of the consciousness that's available to us when we see it just through a conditioned lens. Yeah, the conditioned lens of what I had been up to that point, or what I was allowed to be up to that point. And then this little kid who comes and kind of sticks the key in the lock and turns it and opens a whole another reality, right? So consciousness in that moment shifted its dynamic and shifted my experience of it. Yeah.
So often, you know, people have glimpses of this. You know, they can see from this, from this limited into that bigger perspective. And yet you had the opening so that you could actually see back at yourself in the limited. And that must have been fascinating to have that realization that this is real because you're seeing it from that higher space. I think that's a question we deal with, is this real?
Well, it's, yeah, absolutely. And what I realized too is that, you know, you take somebody diagnosed with autism and the way we all perceive those children, you know, we usually perceive them through our through their challenges. You know, these are the challenges that they have, but rarely do we get to see what's beyond those challenges and what they're bringing to consciousness, what they're contributing to this all that is, ever has been, ever will be, right? And so it did happen that all of a sudden that was completely open to me. And so I could see where people still had very limiting perceptions of these children and themselves, you know, where I had limiting perceptions of myself before. And then all of a sudden everything was shifted. So there was a whole nother field and dimension to reality after that, and that's never gone away. So it's very easy now to see where people are limited by what they are conscious of and what consciousness is to them, right? And how we can move them from whatever those limitations are, those perceived limitations, to the broader scope of what they really have access to. So
I was reading a little bit about your avatar energetics and this idea of this integration process you do of this inner crew. And and I love that. But I imagine when you suddenly had this experience, it's to turn around to see the limitations of yourself. There was still some growth and some work to do for yourself there.
Oh, a lot. A lot of growth. Yeah. And it's, I think the first thing that I really realized is that everything that was the limitations that we have, they're all programmed. They're all conditioned. And by no fault of anybody else's, you know, there's nobody to blame for the fact that we're all conditioned in a particular way. So there are family, you know, imprints, there are collective human imprints, you know, all of these different ways in which something comes in and says you're supposed to be this, where underneath there's something very different. You know, underneath there's consciousness itself. And then there are all of these ways in which we've been imprinted to express in the world. And very rarely are we expressing from anything else other than our conditioned experiences. Yeah. And so when you start looking back and you go, oh, wow, that's a condition. I was conditioned here. I was conditioned there. The nice thing is when I figured out that I couldn't really blame myself for the conditioning, nor could I blame anybody else for their conditioning, then you can just start going to work with integrating the bigger parts of ourselves. Because the minute we're in blame or shame or guilt, oh my gosh, I'm limited in this way, we shut down what consciousness wants to express through us. You know, whereas when we kind of go, oh, everybody on this planet is conditioned. We're all conditioned, even in the fact that we have a head and two arms and two legs. I mean, there are any number of bodies available in any number of places, right? But when you're here on planet Earth, you sure as heck better be conditioned to that reality because it makes you fit in a little bit better, right? So it's like, I guess what I'm saying is that there's, it's like I can feel it in every fiber of my being when we look back on those perceived limitations and we really understand that everybody has them. Everybody's been conditioned with them. And if we can get to that first step of just knowing that, then something else already starts to bubble out and bubble forth. Yeah, something beyond that conditioning can start coming to the forefront.
Yeah, I was always, taught or fascinated about all these different personalities or these different parts of ourselves that if we pull them in and learn and there's a gift in every piece. And maybe what we're doing here is learning how to experience all of ourselves, to have the experiences, you know, to.
I think that's exactly it. And at one point, I remember the kids showing me like this big sphere of consciousness itself, all the different aspects that make up, in this case, it was me or my experience. And so what I noticed is that if you have all of these different aspects of ourselves that make up the sphere of our consciousness, we are conditioned to pay attention to certain aspects of that consciousness, but we're not conditioned to pay attention to the other aspects. So like a child diagnosed with autism, let's say they have the sphere of all these different aspects of their self, just like anybody else does. But because we are all conditioned to look at certain things, they only start paying attention to certain things. So, but when we start asking ourselves questions like, well, I have this challenge. What is it within the sphere of my consciousness that can support this challenge? Now we're starting to pull from different aspects of ourselves that we don't typically use, right? So I have this challenge, and let's assume that if the challenge is in our totality, so is the remedy for that challenge. But we're just so conditioned to pay attention to the challenge that we very rarely say, well, what part of me can support this? What part of me can change this? What part of me can alter this? And the minute we start tapping into that, man, that starts coming closer. That starts being more of our reality. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because we have so many resources inside as well that sometimes we're so used to approaching a problem or a challenge with just one place or one personality. My teacher tell me to, you know, in Africa, they get up and they dance an answer or a solution.
Yes.
And Austin, Alaska, they walk around it in their mind, you know, to try and stretch ourselves in new ways.
Yeah, yeah. And that, you just brought up a good point, Jennifer, too, because I think for me, I'm used to doing shifting things energetically or in my mind's eye or through my multidimensional sight. But it is, it's moving it through the body, too. It's like, what an amazing, it's like, I do that, but I never think about it as being the thing that's transforming energy. But it's true. It does that very beautifully.
And that brings up another beautiful part of this whole journey we're taking together, humanity, whatever, is coming together as partners in this, because there are some people that are very much in their body. And I know you and I know someone very close to us that we love her because she's grounded, you know.
Exactly.
We need each other to see all these different aspects. And I think sometimes people look at you or look at me or some people that can do these journeys and say, I wish I could do that. And I look at them and say, I really need you to bring it in, to make it feel here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that's why there's, 7 billion people on this planet, too. You know, it's if you think about I'm also of the belief that the outer landscape is a reflection of the inner landscape. So if we really take that to the nth degree and realize that there are all of these different aspects of us. And the ones that we get, the ones that we interact with and that we get triggered by, or that we, the ones we get triggered by, the ones that we love, they're all teaching us something about all that is, ever has been, ever will be within each of us. So, you know, I'm pushing against this particular energy out there. Well, why? Why do we push against that? We've been conditioned to push against it, maybe, you know, but the greater opportunity is, okay, I feel the trigger and I'm going to let that reflect something back to me. I'm going to let that teach me how to be in that aspect of myself. Instead of just saying, I don't like it. Well, no, wait, before we don't like it, you know, what can we do? What can we do with that? Can we bring that back into ourselves and ask ourselves some questions? Why don't we like it? What is it bringing up? What is it showing us? You know, so that that particular aspect of us doesn't just get cut off, but gets opened up into. Yeah, that we evolve into it. We grow through it. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, the Dom and her, you know, I do a lot with Dom and her. Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual community, but they choose to live in small family groups and nucleus with about 20, 25 adults and children. And they do it as a spiritual path because of just that, of putting themselves in places where they're a little bit uncomfortable because they can't escape who they are because people are reflecting it back to them all the time. And so they have their work.
Right. Yeah. I honestly believe that life is our exploration of consciousness. You know, life is our way of tapping into all of these different facets and expressions of ourselves. And life knows best too. It has a tendency to put somebody right in front of you that you need to feel into or address, you know, or somebody who's reflecting back to you the beauty and the capacity of your own being. So either way, it works out really well.
And they say what you're outside, like you said, what's outside of you is a reflection of inside.
You know? Always. Yeah. I don't think we can get away from that one.
So. I was thinking, actually, a question that our friend wants me to ask is about,
okay,
you have people that, kids that come to you. And it can happen anytime. Mm-hmm. You'll be driving in the car and somebody will just pop in. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes mm-hmm. you connect with somebody. We're just curious of how that happens. What are you doing when that happens?
In all honesty, it happens a little bit less now that I have a little clearer boundaries around that kind of energy or those kind of exchanges. But it is true. When I very first started working and kind of expanded into the collective consciousness of the kids, let's say, I would be driving my own biological children back and forth to dance classes and all the other kinds of things that they were going to. And I would have the whole car would fill up with this other consciousness. And I would be hearing all these other little voices. And it was really challenging, I gotta say, for quite some time. You can imagine just hearing four little people in the back seat wanting what they want, and you know, and then you have this other energy come in. So over time, you know, I really set time and space to connect with the collective consciousness of the children and to hear what that consciousness had to say, you know, and promising that I would share it where they wanted me to share it or offer it where it needed to be offered. And at this stage of the game, it's really more that any client comes to me, or when I'm presenting in one way or another, that's when the consciousness will come in, or that collective consciousness or the consciousness of that child will come in. And more often than not, like in a private session or something like that, I'm just basically speaking to the consciousness of the child who knows what the place within the consciousness of the child that knows what he needs or she needs, and just reporting that back to the parent. When it's a big group, I'm taking the information from the collective consciousness of the group and reflecting that back to them. So again, just giving ways that we can open to other capacities and other, Yeah, other information that we might not always be able to listen to ourselves or tap into ourselves. So, and usually just because we don't know it's available. But when somebody starts making it available, then it's like, oh, I can do that too. You know, I can tap into that too. So, yeah.
I think that's important when somebody starts making it available. It's almost like when that channel has been opened, it's something that other people can learn and grow in that direction.
Absolutely. I mean, I saw it when we did the Awesomism Practitioner process. You know, you have people coming primarily because they want to become more telepathic or more communicative with children who haven't been able to communicate with them. And, you know, and everybody comes with the same concern. Well, you've got that skill, but I don't have that skill, or I'm not going to be able to develop that skill. But, you know, a good 300 people in, and they're all telepathic. You know, they all have been able to reach into another state of their own consciousness and access the kids where the kids are accessible, you know. I think that's, it's kind of like somebody, you know, the person who broke the 4-minute mile, you know, it's like once it's been broken, you know, it can be broken. I think just there's some people that have certain skill sets that they break the 4-minute mile first, and then everybody else goes, okay, I can do that too. So, yeah.
That's something we learned with remote viewing. I don't know if you've heard much.
I bet.
Yeah, they spoke that when it first came out in the 60s or when the government first came out with remote viewing, it was a very hard process to teach. You kind of think of it as the IRS doing psychic ability. I mean, it was done very methodically.
Yeah.
It was very hard to break through and teach somebody. It took years. Whereas now they teach a room full of, you know, hundreds of people in a couple of days. They're doing a lot of journeys, a lot of remote viewing.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. There was a class a long time ago that I taught. It wasn't meant to be a remote viewing class, but it was a bunch of kids, and they were all very energetically sensitive, very energetically aware. And one day one of them said, we want to go to this location. I want to go to this location. I want to see what that would look like. And I said, can you? And she said, yeah, of course. And I said, well, why don't we all go then? And she said, okay, great. So we all did a little journey together. They all had paper and pencil in front of them. And I said, okay, now that you've come back, draw where you were. Because, you know, that was the only way. Every single kid drew the exact same thing. They were all in the same room. They had different angles of it, different experiences of it. And I thought, you know, this is the beautiful thing about being a kid. You know, it's like, because they're so open. So, you know, we had, again, that conditioning hadn't stopped them from knowing that that was a capacity that was innate to them. And they jumped right in and did it, you know. So it taught me to get out of my own way for sure. Just, yeah. Yeah.
And oh my gosh, it shows that we can do it too. I mean, it shows we all can.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I wanted to mention back to what you said too about a car full of kids. I can see that being a soccer mom myself, but to have there, I imagine it's important to note that we can have a choice to find a way to turn it off. To turn it on and to turn it off, because it can be very scary or overwhelming to think I'm going to have, if I open this door, it's not going to stop, you know?
Yeah, I think it's really important. And I think somewhere along the line, either by it, just by necessity, you know, you have to start turning it off, because you just can't, nobody can take that much information in, you know, kids who are taking an awful lot of information in and don't really, almost too much information, they become very OCD. You know, that's, to me, that's what OCD behaviors are. But so again, that's definitely gonna happen if we're not able to turn off or dial down some of the information that's coming in. And I think that a lot of times, especially if something like this happens to people and their consciousness is opened very quickly and they have maybe a heightened spiritual experience, or they have some kind of something that's starting to flood in, a lot of times we assume that it's being done to us. And because we think it's being done to us, we have a tendency to like, just wait, you know, is it gonna hurt me? Is it gonna help me? Is it, what's it gonna do? But again, the outer landscape is never just the outer landscape. You know, it's a reflection of the inner. And if we really understand that, whatever's happening to us, we've brought through us, right? And so we can start really dictating how that comes through. And we can also give ourselves permission to say, yes, I'll take that. No, I won't take that. And this is helpful to me. You know, where we really factor ourselves into that experience. We have to. Yeah.
You know, for me,
yeah,
there's a huge power in ritual and being able to open and close and set time aside.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Boy, I have so many questions. Yeah. I was just going to say, when it's structured like that too, through some kind of ritual or through some kind of practice,
Susie, I think we're losing your audio again. So we're about out of time, and I have a feeling I need to open this conversation up again for Susie, because there's so much more we can talk about. Do I hear you now? Can you try? No. Okay. So it was such a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you for being here with talking with us with consciousness. I'd like to mention that if you're interested in Susie's programs, her Journey Back to Love, Asanism, and Avatar Energetics, as well as she has some wonderful sessions, individual and group sessions on energy. Please visit her site at susiemiller.com. And you're listening to Adventures in Consciousness, The Conversation. I'm Jennifer Ivanko, and I hope you'll stay with us. When we come back, we're going to enjoy an experience of your own adventure in consciousness. We're going to take a deep dive into that meta realm and explore time and time past. So thank you. Come back soon in a moment.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. She gave them some broth without any bread and kissed them all soundly and put them to bed. Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org.
So welcome back. And I'm eager to give you your first experience of this journey. It's Journey into the Meta Realm. I want to say a couple of things first. First of all, it's a deep meditation, so please don't operate any heavy equipment. Actually, if you can find a place that's quiet, and we're going to meditate for about 20 minutes. I want to talk a little bit about these journeys. These journeys are going to take you into a powerful place of possibility. to get this. There we go. It's going to take you into a powerful place of possibility. To get the most out of these experiences, we talked about that childlike wonder and curiosity. When you step into the imaginal, it's like stepping beyond fantasy and imagination into this powerful place of possibility, where these potent, these possibilities become probability because you're touching that creative power of the universe. And it starts by dropping that mind, that expert mind. So some of the parts of this process, this meditation, there's some very typical tools I use. The first is we do about 10 minutes of conscious breathing. And this is a very effortless process. It's a relaxing breath. And it actually by itself, just doing 10 minutes every day is very transformative. I also would like to introduce what's called the Entelechy process. This is something that some of you may have heard before. It's something that Jean Houston taught me when I first started mentoring with her years ago. It's probably the first tool, but the most valuable and powerful tool that she gave me. The Entelechy is a Greek word that means it is the Entelechy of an acorn to be an oak tree. So it means it's fully encoded in the acorn to be fully realized. We can say it is the Entelechy of a baby to be an adult. And let's assume that it is the Entelechy of you to be fully realized in your full power and your fully realized self. So now let's find a comfortable position, take off your glasses, and get ready for your journey. So let's begin. Let's take a moment and make yourself very comfortable, relaxing just as fully as you can. And for a little while now, with your eyes closed, let's bring the awareness to your breath as you breathe in and out. Not changing your breath, just being aware of how you breathe. In and out. Noticing the air as it passes your nose and the slightly warmer air as you breathe out. And now let's deepen the breath just a little and notice your chest rise and fall with each breath, in and out. And now let's deepen the breath into long, slow belly breaths, in through the nose, hold, out through the mouth, hold, and continue like this. As you breathe, imagine breathing in a light blue color, a sky blue energy, filling your body with that prana life force. And as you breathe out tension and stress, as if you're breathing out the color gray. Each breath in, a gentle wave of that energy flowing into every cell of your body. And each breath out, going a little deeper, a little more into that peace and stillness. Continuing that deep breathing, I'm going to ask you now to put your hands on your lap with your palms face up and breathe into those hands. And I want you to imagine, and for the next few minutes, accept that it is true, that standing opposite you is your own high self, your entelechy, your higher purpose. That part of you that gives you your deepest purpose and reason for being, your higher guidance. Imagining now and accept that it is true for the time being that this entelechy is placing his or her hands over yours, and breathe into that place. Continuing that deep belly breathing and breathing with your entelechy. You might begin to imagine that you are feeling something tingling, a little electricity, a subtle touch, whatever it is. Begin to gain a sense of the presence of your entelechy, who is looking upon you now with so much love. Knowing your failings and your triumphs, who and what you are, and loves you unconditionally, your dear, dear friend. And as you deepen this connection, know that this high self touching your hands now is looking upon you with so much love. And as you breathe, continuing that deep prana breathing, receive now this gift, this deep loving energy that flows from the one who sees and knows your potentials, and in this moment is beginning to juice them, to call them into being, to evoke you and charge you and ignite you with your higher capacities, with your higher being. Now imagine that you can look up into the eyes of your entelechy and see there the mirror of your own soul. Entelechy holds all the dimensions of who you are. Continuing that deep breathing, and as you gaze up into your entelechy's eyes, I invite you to ask that beautiful soul question. Who am I? Who am I? As you ask this question, notice the smile that comes to your entelechy. Entelechy knows the deeper answers to that question. Let entelechy show you now with symbols, words, sensations, or even a conversation, some of the deeper wisdoms of who you are. Now, take a deep breath in. and release, allowing yourself to slip into that gentle resting rhythm as we begin our journey. IntelliKey reveals to you, in front of you, a magic doorway, a portal. You may never have noticed this portal before, but it is there now. And so, imagining as if in a dream that you stand, and IntelliKey now guides you through the portal and into a field of swirling mist. With a sense of awe and curiosity, you walk with your IntelliKey through this mist that's swirling all around you. Feeling a lightening, a sense of expansion as you walk, IntelliKey lets you know that this is a place beyond time, beyond space, a place of all possibilities. Walking deeper and deeper into the mist, until IntelliKey comes to a place and stops, signaling to you that there is something important that IntelliKey wants to show you now. The mist begins to thin, and there, in front, you find a vast landscape, a borderless territory. You cannot see the beginning nor the end. It's laid out in front of you, in every direction. And this territory is like nothing you have ever seen before. As you look across, it is almost blurry, as if it shimmers and shifts in front of you. IntelliKey smiles and tells you to imagine that this place, this landscape out in front of you, is the territory of time. You can look around and see all of time spread out before you, as if there is a terrain you can walk across, as if you can move through time in any direction. Standing here on the edge of time, observing with IntelliKey, IntelliKey invites you to focus on different points in front of you. See if you can get a sense of time, whatever sensations or images or impressions. Time past, time present, time future. And now, building on that sense of time as a terrain that you can move around in any direction, IntelliKey would like to explore, would like to play. IntelliKey takes your hand and leads you out onto a pathway, moving through time. Following IntelliKey deeper and deeper into the terrain, until all of a sudden IntelliKey stops and things seem to coalesce around you. And the first thing you notice is the cobblestones at your feet. You have a sense right away that you have left the 21st century and have stepped into history. As you look around now, find yourself in a town square. The cobblestone streets and the stone buildings around you. and in front of you there's a man holding a notebook and speaking to a crowd of people who have gathered. All of them appear very interested in what he is showing them on his paper. And listen for a moment to the sounds and the sensations as you begin to realize that you are in the presence of Leonardo da Vinci, and he is showing this crowd drawings of a wondrous, futuristic flying machine. The crowd does not appear to know that you are there. However, Leonardo looks directly into your eyes and smiles. And it dawns on you now, with sudden realization, that Leonardo also has the ability to travel in this time territory. I invite you to take the next few minutes, equal to all the time you need, to explore with Leonardo this time, this space, and even his notebook with all his pictures. What is it that IntelliKey wants to share with you here and now? IntelliKey now takes your hand and guides you out back onto the terrain of time, moving deeper and deeper into time, moving a little faster, going a little deeper, and now I'd like you to imagine that out of all the time that's laid out in front of you, you can choose a point in time before you were born that you'd like to experience with your IntelliKey. In fact, there is a time now that is calling you. It may be the time of the pharaohs and the pyramids, or the golden age of Greece and Athens. Or maybe it's the wild frontier of the New World. Maybe it's the Mayans, or the ancient civilizations here before. Whatever it is, laid out here in front of you, you can ask your IntelliKey to guide you there now. And as you do, open up all your inner senses, the sensations of sight, sound, taste, smell, and touch. Taking now the next few minutes of clock time and the guidance of your IntelliKey, I'll watch the time. And now coming back to my voice and turning to your entelechy, following your entelechy back into the mist, swirling all around you as you leave this territory of time, moving to your breath, breathing into your body now, feeling your toes and your fingers, being in touch now with your physical body, knowing that you are connected to all the experiences you've had. And when you finish here, knowing that you will have time to write down anything that you remember, any experience you had. But for now, coming back in touch with your body, becoming aware of a red energy flowing from above you, down over your body, like a warm blanket. And as it rolls down over your body, you get the sensations of being in touch with every part of your physical body, stretching your toes and your fingers, and enlivening that sense of joy of being in the body and able to create in this world. And when you're ready, at your own time, slowly opening your eyes and coming back. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed your journey. This was just a sample journey. And I know sometimes we are just touching these experiences and we get called back. I want to mention that I have some free experiences to go deeper with these journeys through time in a series called Countdown to a New Beginning. Again, they're all free and you can download them. And you can actually go a little bit longer in these experiences. I also wanted to mention that when we move into this meta realm and into one of these experiences, our mind takes a back seat. It's there enjoying the ride. And there's a lot happening on the energetic level. And there's a lot of activations and seedings that when you come back, if you journal or take time to walk out in nature and allow yourself just to integrate what you've discovered and be surprised and filled with wonder when you have the aha moments that come afterwards. Because I'm sure you receive something here. So again, if you enjoyed these tastes of this experience, please go to my website at www.jenniferivanko.com. And you can there's a number of free experiences there, like the countdown, but also free morning meditations every morning. And if you are interested in going deeper into a journey, into Adventures in Consciousness, we have the course, which is a live group series. And the next one's going to start at the end of the month. So we'll be back here next in Adventures in Consciousness, the conversation, in 2 weeks. I hope I will see you then. We have another exciting person to join the conversation. So thank you for joining me. Have a beautiful day.